Can we converge and start? We are an hour behind schedule. I'm going to also request honorable members and the SOEs to be concise and to the point so that we can be able to finish our business. Honorable Munsinga, in your absence, we did a lot of work. For sure, anyway, we know that it's a norm if it's not a rule. That ESO will be dealing with issues of budget, because there's a number of things that we did in your absence. You will not oppose those together with your colleague. But the fighter has exhausted everything that we're doing here. So that is how we're going to be taking the matter. Let me welcome Sandra. It's Paul. Oh, I'm reading from the sorry. Let me welcome the port regulator. Dr. Mulisa said that when your life goes into the afternoons, then hell breaks loose. You tend to forget some other things. We had agreed that we will put port regulator so that they can be able to finish. Santa will be the one that will come afterwards. You're welcome, we believe that you have been here seeing how other people are presenting. We're looking forward to your presentation. I'm going to give it to the person from the board who will be able to work and introduce the team that comes from the port regulator. But as a regulator, I think it will be fair for us to say that Operation Pakisa and other related things, we are looking with glaring eyes to see as to how are you going to be contributing towards the realization of this noble idea and this noble ideal as presented by the President of the Republic, but also critical the safety of our waters is also paramount, the security at port level, that no substances enter the shores of the Republic that are unwanted substances. That is to us what becomes very, very critical, because the economy relies on the good work that you will be doing. The environment in the Republic, in particular, we see nowadays all these challenging things of the unwanted subject, as in it be chemicals, it be whatever coming into the shores of the Republic. So we rely on yourself as regulators, that as you regulate, you're also an eye and an ear on the ground. We know that when you came here previously, there were issues that you raised with the committee. We would be very keen, probably it may not be on your presentation, to say how are you progressing between yourself and Transnet on issues that were raised, which we believe will be some of the issues that we take with the minister. As we'll be dealing with some of the things, but let me say to yourself, ma'am, ride on, my sister.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you so much for the indulgence that you are affording us as the Port Regulator of South Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Probably before I start, I'll let you share our apologies from our chairperson, Mrs. Gloria Seroge. She couldn't be with us today, so she did in fact request that we profusely apologize for her, on behalf of her, to both the chairperson as well as the honorable members. Honorable chairperson as well as honorable members, my name is Tado Zawuze. I'm a member of the regulator, and I have with me our CEO, Mr. Mahesh Fakir, as well as our CFO, Mr. Chobozani Ngongo. and we will be taking you through our presentation, which will then entail the overview of the regulator, which is the vision, the mission, and the mandate, our organizational structure, our strategic goals, our objectives, our annual performance plan, our strategic plan, budget, funding model, as well as the strategic challenges. For the purposes of the House, our core mandate is the economic regulation of the port system in South Africa. In that, we have then set a vision and a mission that is to look at the vision is to be regarded nationally and internationally as a world-class institution, which sets the standard for economic regulation in the maritime sector. Our mission is to look and to emphasize economic regulation of the South African port system, consistent with the government's strategic objectives. It is to support the development of the port industry and system. It is to promote equity of access to ports and to facilitate services provided in the port, and lastly to monitor the activities of the National Port Authority to ensure that it performs its function in accordance with the National Port Act. As I've already highlighted, our mandate primarily is to look at economic regulation of the port industry. It has to regulate the activities of the port industry in accordance with the policy and regulatory environment generally, and more specifically, the National Port Act. Chairperson, as well as honorable members, this is our structure, our organogram. Maybe I just need to highlight our organogram is supposed to be 13 with 27 people, but because of our challenges, no financial challenges, or only budgetary constraints, we are 15 or 17. We do have a CFO in terms of my hash. But if you look at our executive management, we only have executive manager, legal, and board secretariat. Then we then operate using managers. Of course, we do have CFO. We are doing our best in the limited resources that we have to execute our mandate, and we are able to do so, albeit the fact that we would really love to have a full staff complement. I would like to take you through the programs of the regulator. We are established along five programs that are responsible for delivering on the key aspects and objectives of our mandate. The first program is our administration, where we are looking at the development, implementation, maintenance, and management of the systems for effective operation of the regulator, as well as appropriate enhancement management of all resources in accordance with the regulatory compliance framework. We also have economic regulation, which I think is the core of our or the backbone of our mandate. We develop policy, strategy, research, and implementation instruments with respect to economic regulation of ports. Included under this program is the tariff setting that we normally have on an annual basis with the TNPA. We also do a research on tariffing on how to assess tariffs. We also look at the regulatory development processes for economic regulation of the port system, including industrial reform, institutional architects, implementation, and market rules development. The third is the tribunal and compliance. In terms of the Act, the port community is given an opportunity to make complaints and appeals against the National Port Authority, where they have complaints in terms of the port authority not complying. The regulator is mandated to hear these complaints, so we have a tribunal that sits and listens to these complaints, but before that we have our legal department that is the one that is addressing and receiving all the complaints. So we are currently looking at a number of complaints with them that Mahesh should be taking you through the numbers that we're having. We also play a monitoring role. We monitor and enforce, it is the monitoring and enforcement of economic regulation systems, including transformation, access, tariffs, compliance with the Port Act, as well as development of the monitoring instruments across the sector. Lastly, it's the industry development. We are conducting research and development of strategies and implementation approaches that enhance the effectiveness of the industry and its efficiency, as well as engaging all stakeholders and interested parties across the industry and the state. This program includes planning, economic transformation, initiatives, benchmarks towards the South African core system with respect to efficiency, effective and comparison with other similar environments. I'm going to request our CEO to take over from an honorable member from me. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, other board members of entities and fellow public servants. Let me just continue here just to give you some idea of the impact of the regulator. We've rationalized tariffs, we've had a 1 billion rand rebate program, we've significantly lowered approved tariffs, whilst at the same time maintaining the continuous sustainability of the National Ports Authority to provide the port infrastructure and to allow shipping and import and export, etc., to continue and thrive in the country. We've been proactive and risk mitigating in our approach. We have within the tariff structure an excessive tariff increase margin credit that provides about 2.4 billion rand available to offset future increases. Looking forward, we look forward to fair tariff incidents, more accurate investment signals. The graph that you see there looks at regulation since it has actually started in 2009-10. In effect, it started in the year after that, after the regulator was set up, after the promulgation of the Act in 2006. You can see the bright blue bars are the revenue that the NPA, the National Ports Authority, required, and what was allowed by the regulator. And you could see that significantly lower amounts were allowed, saving the port users about 5 billion rand, just over 5 billion rand over the period. But continuing the maintaining the stability of the system and the National Ports Authority. The chairperson has asked that I try and shorten the presentation to 20 minutes, so I'm going to try and do that. We'll just take you, I would think, some of the strategic goals statements. So it's firstly to establish all elements of the regulatory framework within the port regulator's mandate. And the goal statement related to that is that for the port regulator to fulfill its entire mandate as prescribed by the Act itself and in accordance with state policy to respond to economic and stakeholder needs. Secondly, to develop the capacity to deal with all the output requirements of the organization. For that, we need to maintain and enhance all systems, resources, staff competencies to ensure that the delivery of the regulator's mandate. Thirdly, establish and maintain the port regulator reputation as an organization with integrity focused on delivery. And the goal statement related to that is to ensure that it delivers appropriate outcomes that are consistent, timeless, clear, in alignment with policy and the regulatory framework and meet the needs of the country. Fourthly, ensure that all port sector participants comply with the National Ports Act, Act 12, passed by this August 12. The goal statement is to monitor and intervene in the industry to ensure that the industry as a whole complies with the commercial ports policy and the legislative requirements. And lastly, to support the development of the port system and the port regulatory system architecture. I just want to directly then go into our APP items that derive out of the strategic objective so that you get a sense of where we are headed. So the first item is the running of efficient and effective administrative system. The outcome there is the organizational and employee performance improved. The key performance indicator is that the organizational performance is monitored and reported on to the regulator quarterly. And so we've set annual targets in relation to these, and on a quarterly basis we report on the quarter performance of the previous quarter in the next quarter to the DOT and the regulator by those prescribed dates. The next one is the implementation of a sustainable funding model for the organization. once it has been approved by the executive authority. I think at the end of this presentation, I'm going to do a presentation just quickly about the funding model, because we need your help as legislators to actually ensure that this organization actually is able to fulfill its functions. So we, on this one, we are going to be quarterly reporting to the regulator on the implementation of the funding model once it has been approved. But we are at that stage where we are now presenting it and tabling it to yourselves. The ongoing improvement of economic regulation for price access and institutional structure. We are implementing the multi-year tariff methodology. We did for the first time last year, and it continues as a multi-year tariff assessment. So the key performance indicator is perform the four tariff assessment in accordance with the multi-year methodology and issue the record of decision. The annual target is the tariff decision and the ROD, which is record of decision. And here on the quarterly basis, we have a number of items that keep us in line with making sure that we achieve our target. The next outcome is the tariff strategy approved, published, and implemented and monitored. So the key performance indicator there is the medium to long-term tariff strategy to be consulted with industry. We have just completed it. We published it now for consultation with the industry. That's the position we are at the moment. So the South African port tariff strategy must be implemented across the port system. So in the first quarter, the final tariff strategy approved by the regulator, and of course we've done that. We are already at that stage. We are now going to go into a public consultation on that. I just want to go very quickly through these key items because they are actually essential for regulation in the port system. So the research projects, there are a number of them, as you can see, listed 2.1.1 is the global tariff comparison study for at least 5 commodity types like coal, iron ore, automotive, public with containers. The next one deals with a review of the port sector. It's an economic review as well as a review of the organization of the port sector. That's what we hope to complete this year. The third item is the industry development part, which we spoke about earlier, and infrastructure planning, integration, and efficiency. So we said we'll support the maritime industry development initiatives of government and the DOT itself within the mandate of the port regulator of South Africa. So we will provide continuous support on that. 3.2 is the port performance and efficiency benchmarking review. We have done one which you find on our website now. We aim to enhance the port efficiency benchmarking study. The next one is the port infrastructure utilization and CAPEX program assessment. We have done one for the first time towards the end of this year. It's published, port utilization study, and we aim to improve on it and continue it into the next year. So that on a continuous basis, we have an assessment of how our ports are being used and how efficient that is. The 3.4 was to conduct the valuation of the regulatory asset base of the National Ports Authority. I came to you in the middle of last year to say that we couldn't do it, we didn't have the money for it, we still don't. So we have asked for donor funding. We might be able to do it instead of doing 10 of the key assets, maybe one or two at a time, and this is what we're saying that we'll do it, but it's based conditional on funding being made available. 3.5 is the project register of National Ports Authority CAPEX project. We are actually starting for the first time ever to look at a register of capital projects that are underway, monitor on a continuous basis the progress being made on expenditure on CAPEX as well as the actual completion of projects. 3.6 was to perform a regulatory review and evaluation. So that is to review the regulator itself and see how we are performing in relation to the task that we are supposed to be doing. Point four is to monitor the port industry and its compliance with the National Ports Act. So there's a number of things that our legal team is doing for the compliance of the National Ports Act, contractually in relation to Section 56, 57 agreement. Yes, on an ongoing basis, we are going to research and review the legislation itself and see whether any further amendments will be required. Triple BEE status, we are reviewing. We have already published a review of Section 56 and Section 57 agreements and their BEE status in regards to that. We will be continuing this going forward. Item 5 is the tribunals. We continue to operate an effective and efficient tribunals to hear complaints and appeals under the National Ports Act. Okay. So, Chairperson, I think keeping in mind, I mean, what you said about time, the annual performance plan is derived out of the strategic plan which has been submitted to you. I'm just going to ask Acting CFO to quickly look at our budget and then we can talk about the proposed funding model.
Thank you, Maris. Honorable Chairperson, the members and the fellow colleagues. As can be seen from our budget, more of our, about a third of our expenditure goes to commercial employees, basically because we are more of a decision-making body, so we spend more money on paying employees. And also I want to emphasize the point that for the medium term, we don't have any planned capital expenditure because based on the number of people we have, of 17, we're trying, I mean, there's one of the employees who are using computers as old as 5 or 6 for 6 years because we're in a situation where we aren't even able to appoint an employee at an entry-level position, and for us to buy even one capital item means we must sacrifice something else. Excuse me. The other thing that we did communicate to the Purple Committee in the previous engagement is that we request assistance in terms of revising our baseline allocation. At the moment, yes, the funding proposal was submitted to the Minister last year at the AGM, and also the Purple Committee did request the proposal to be submitted to them. Obviously, there's a process of which it must go to, including the post-tax amendments. That may take a bit of time. So that's why we're requesting that in the interim, while the funding proposal is being in the processes, we get an additional 5 million because also the thing that the valuation of the NPA assets needs to happen. And for that to be done, when we tried to do it in 2 years, we found that the bid has requested funds that were more than even our reserves. As we're preparing the 14-15 financial statement, we're sitting in a situation where we're now actually using our reserves. As much as in terms of the APP for 14-15, we achieved 88% of our planned targets. And those that we couldn't achieve were one of them being the funding proposal, and one of them where we need another party to come on board. But for those of us who could do as ports, we managed to achieve all those targets. And as a result, we then end up having to, even our reserves and having over, finished over about 500,000. However, in terms of the audits, in the past 2 years, we've received clean audits, and so far, again, in some audits as well, we've received findings that some housekeeping, which I suppose are serious, we've managed to sort them out. So at this point, we're requesting that the Federal Committee assist us to, even if it comes to 5 million rand per year for the next 3 years, for us as ports, we'll be able to appoint people, because the challenge we have is that when we want to appoint the unique skill, the industry is able to take away those people, especially in the legal, maritime legal, as well as some regulation, the likes of transit, etc. So it becomes difficult for us at this budget to be able to appoint people in a very experienced level based on our current budget. So other than that, Chairperson, that's all from me. Yeah.
So just to add to that is that the organization had been undergoing a benchmarking in relation to industry. We have to actually pay some people more, even with the money that we have, because the benchmarking showed that we were very much under industry averages and even close to the bottom end of industry. So at the moment, I am having to face the fact that even the existing people that we have, we would have to pick up their salaries. So the proposed funding model, Chairperson, is that in response to the Minister's request to the cost regulator of South Africa for a sustainable funding model, we did then put together this model. The independence and security of funding is important in order to ensure a degree of autonomy of the activities and responsibilities of any regulator. Without secure funding, the ability of a regulator to effectively execute its mandate may be constrained from year to year. The funding of the ports regulator of South Africa is currently dependent entirely on the fiscus as an allocation from government through the DOT. So this was necessary in the first place to establish the ports regulator and to set up the institution from the inception. But now an alternative funding model that better reflects the cost of regulation and a more effective allocation of these costs to the receivers or beneficiaries of regulation should be utilized. The funding of regulators in general must ensure in the minimum that the funding model reinforces its independence from all stakeholders, including industry and government, and ensures its sufficient funding for the effective execution of a regulator's mandate. So this proposal is in line with what regulatory academics around the world say, who they suggest that funding autonomy for a regulator is best achieved through an annual levy by the regulator on the regulated entity. Okay, so this in general, there are many different models. There's a general regulatory charge, there's funding from general tax revenues, funding from specific fees, right? And the general regulatory charge model just says the overall level of funding is derived as a percentage using a formula for obtaining the funds. And it's levied on the regulated entity. The general tax revenue is the second most popular method, and it's the one that we are funded from at the moment, and it's an appropriation from general tax revenue, such as the appropriation through the DOT to the port regulator at the current time. Specific fees is the least common model. It's used for when it has high transaction costs. So if someone makes a complaint, you charge them a fee for that, but it then depends on the number of complaints you get and whether, in fact, that will discourage people from making complaints by charging them a fee. So that model is not very useful. So then there's a hybrid approach. Most regulators use a hybrid of one or other model, and it depends on the founding legislation. Some ICASA research actually said that if they looked at 119 countries around the world, and two-thirds or 66% indicate that they rely on a combination of sources for their funding, only one-third actually has a single-source approach. So what we're suggesting for the fourth regulator of South Africa is an introduction of such a hybrid funding model that retains the current budgetary approval process with oversight by the Department of Transport as well as the Treasury, but it removes the direct financial burden of regulation from the national fiscus and the budget itself. So we think that's the best option. It will retain the credibility of national budget process, but also it will have the impact of the users of the port system paying for regulation of their port system rather than the taxpayers. So based on the expected 2014-15 volumes, the current budget will only be 0.19% to give us that budget that we have. We're suggesting that it become a tariff of 0.3% to allow us around 25 million rand that allows us then to fund our organogram. There are obviously collection process options The one is that it's, collection is facilitated through invoicing of the NPA. Option two suggests that collection be done through the treasury and then the treasury give us the money, etc. We've decided to look at option one as the choice. The proposed amendment that would be required to the National Ports Act, at the moment section 42 states that the funds of the regulator consist of only a money appropriated by Parliament, interest on investment, fees charged for filing of complaints, etc. And so just the red line there says that we want to add this as an amendment saying that regulatory charges imposed as a percentage of overall revenue allowed to the regulated entity by the regulator. So that would be the sort of amendment that, that would be required in order for us to have a sustainable funding approach. And so the our recommendation is that the proposed funding model for the regulator, post regulator, be approved based on an annually determined percentage regulatory charge on overall NPA tariff revenue with a collection system in line with option one, an average increase in the tariff book, tariffs of 0.3% to be reviewed annually, and then the retention of the parliamentary appropriation for the first year of the implementation as a reserve. We are asking that the Portfolio Committee on Transport support and implement the legislative changes that will facilitate the new funding model. Very quickly, the last slide just talks to the strategic challenges, and as you can see, the budgetary constraint is the main challenge. Capacity is another challenge of 17 people out of 27 organograms. Policy gaps, we've already spoken to that in the fourth amendment that will be coming to this committee. The reach of this regulator with regards to private sector participation is something that we're looking at as challenge going forward. And lastly, the change with regard to the regulatory architecture of the transport sector, which is the single transport economic regulator. We are participating in that, but we just flag it as one of the things that will be affecting us strategically going forward. So I think with that, Madam Chair, thank you very much. I hope I've managed to keep to your expectations of time. And so we look forward to your assistance and your discussion in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, as well as honorable members. Maybe just to highlight, I think our CEO forgot to highlight one issue, being our strategic challenge that the current board term is coming to an end of May. And we would really like to request the committee to assist in that, because when we came in the previous board, the time lag between filling of the current board with the previous one was almost 3 months. We nearly got a finding with audit on that issue. So we'd really love to get clarity from DOT to ensure that we are able to comply with all the governance prescripts and we're able to assist the entity not to be found wanting when it comes to governance issues. Thank you so much, Chair, and honorable members.
Honorable members, then we ask the presentation short, very informative for your attention. Are they taken? Honorable Mlauzi, you'll be the first one. Honorable Hunsinga, Honorable Cheko Bushian.
Thanks, Jefferson. Again, for the straightforward presentation. As I did to one of the entities about the organization structure of MOS, it doesn't show again the board and the department ministry. And in your structure, again, I saw the internal audit you have outsourced. That's my So why don't you hire our own risk management for the monitoring of the structure? Is it not expensive to outsource such an important organ? The other question is about the Operation Pakisa and the MVP. Another heard in your presentation talking about those most important Operation Pakisa and the National Development Plan. Why? And the age report of the previous financial years. How clean is your agency for the previous financial year? Thank you, sir.
Honorable
Nissan.
I was still hunting for the exact page, but I saw some indications of investigation or research or efforts into increasing revenue streams. And you seem to be having a step growth model, but then even out. Is it due to saturation of some sort or reaching a certain platform? It was about the 6th, 7th slide, if I recall correctly, but it showed a step growth pattern, a clear step growth pattern, but then some indication of the previous.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also greet the members of the Education Board and the staff. To me, it's just an advice to the department. Sometimes it does not, it's not. Sometimes it's not good not to see the people who are leading in these agencies, like board chairs and CEOs. When people are going to present a strategy plan and performance plan, I think it will be good for the department to influence the people who are leading in those entities to be present when those plans are presented to members. I think this is a very important, without undermining the people who are presenting, but the department must make sure, because these are not independent entities, these are entities of the Department of Transport. So the department must make sure, even about the quality of the presentation. Here sometimes we are not discussing strategic issues. To talk about the number of pages, you know, it's something that takes you back to ask what type of presentation. This one is numbered, but others were not numbered. I think those things that are uniform, at least the entities must come prepared, numbering. There are standard things that we want as the committee here. Without taking much of your time, Chairperson, let me go straight to the issue of the organogram that they were presenting. You can have your exact establishment of your organization and the ideal situation. What I noticed is the thing that has been noticed by the other honorable member, the outsourcing of the internal audit. You can't say it's an internal auditor if it's outsourced. Something else. And the vacancy rate, we cannot say it is bad for those posts not to be filled because we don't know if they are strategic or not. We don't know which ones are vacant, which ones are occupied in your organogram. At least you must be able to say this one is occupied, this one, so that we are able to see the picture. And also the issue of under page 12, there's the issue of skills development and training, where you are only talking about your staff, the private staff. What other development programs do you have? Are you only targeting your own staff? Are there no learnerships, whatever? Why are you so excited about that? If it is not there, at least you must aim to tell us if it is not there. In summary, we would love if you can hear what are your successes. At least you must be able to say we are doing good here, we are not doing good here. It can be good if that can reflect in your presentation. Otherwise, we welcome the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson. Also, I want to add to what Honorable Gogo was saying, to say also in your presentation, or I'm just looking from the FICA document, somewhere down the line, page 21, 20, you then decided to work on your KPIs and only work on 20, 13, 14, and 14, 15. I'm not sure what was being informed by, because we're dealing with 5-year plans and the APP for 2015, 16. So I'm not sure why somewhere down the line, because we're coming on well, somewhere down the line, I think the tiredness was setting in, and then it just picked up. No, I'll just add into how we check our documents. But coming to the content issues, I think in the forward, your chairperson raised the issue of the regulatory principle, stating that the regulator shall seek public submission every 5 years of the quality and relevance of its regulatory policy and methods, and that it shall provide. I'm not sure whether is it your function or the department or the committee. You know, I think we need to be clear, because you can't take out of your regulation part and then expect to go to public and ask them. And it's us who can evaluate whether what you have in place can is it sufficient or not. What you need to be done. So you can't be a referee and a player at the same time. And then the second one, I think, is on page 4. You're saying most delivery targets have been met, but only one core target, the valuation of NPRs and project, still remains. And then you went on to talk about the reason why, because of affordability issues, and then the staff that you need. So I'm not sure if within these 5 years, are you not able to achieve what you wanted to achieve? Because if it was your priority or your core, as you say, and it's the only one remaining, surely within the little constraints or resources that you have, because you know you might not even succeed to get anything, won't you be able to shift around just to show that at least you're doing something? Even if it's not done in the next financial year, you can then pick up in the outer years as it goes on, but then you'll then have a base to do that. Also, looking to that, is saying you want to fill key and fundamental. But all throughout your document, you're talking about lack of resources, fill key, you know. So maybe we might want to reconcile ourselves with, I know you are actually making an appeal to the community to say assist us and what, and then maybe we might want to do that. The other issue, I think you touched it briefly, but mainly for the department acting DG, it is reminded that this term of office ends on 31 May. I hope processes are in place, so that on the 1st of June, the new one takes over, whether it's the old continuum or new one. But I'm saying on the 1st of June, there would be a regulator. No, because we know in advance, and we don't want to come and start asking ourselves what went wrong. And then we extend the mandates and what. Well, we knew that the term of office is coming. So I'm just saying it has been highlighted clearly. If you can attend to it, let's not have that conversation on the 2 of June when the matter comes. On a lighter note, I can see you are referring to your chairperson as chairman. I'm not sure, maybe there was an exchange. I don't know. I'm just on a lighter note. And then the other thing
which comes every time in your court. You know, the report is so red, I'm not going to go through it, I just went through each and every sentence. You hear complaints and appeals under the tribunal program because you want to ensure fairness, transparency, and regulated competition. Are you doing that all by yourself? Because there is going to be a contradiction somewhere. I'm sure you understand that, yes. So I think maybe you might want to clear the state. They understand, I think, with a conversation, let's get sure. And then the other one, I think, is the acting for you, the acting DG one. The regulator, I think it's in terms of the Act, comprises 6 to 12 independent regulator members. Maybe we might want to have a fixed number. Because if you say 6 to 12, you're not committing yourself. You know, if there are 7, it's fine. If there are 6, it's fine. If I can get to 12, it will be much better. So we just need to confirm, like all others. The regulator's members are 7 or 8. Then we appoint the full board at 8 or 7 or 6 or whatever, informed by whatever we have informed. But I've never come to a situation where you say, between mom and then you pick and choose throughout the number which one is the best for you. Let's close that one. And then on the strategic overview, you're showing that at least your decisions have translated into a savings of port users of 5.2 billion, which is commendable. But don't you think you have a way, you know, of funding some of your needs from the savings of, I know this is people, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, looking at your funding model, won't you want to, you know, look at it, about that, on page 8, it's just a comment because I can see where you are required to perform a very specific balancing act, which will ensure the sustainability of National Port Authority as well as lowering cost of doing business. And then also you have to have some coming in, and then Transnet also banking on your own. So how do we, as the whole entities of government and the department, able to balance it? Because it will arise if one of the entities or somebody outside take us to court, then we'll be able to run around. But we need, I'm happy that you are flagging it here, and then we need to at least proceed around. And then the other issue also that is coming, I will not go through, I will spend the whole 95 because almost every page I have. What also come out key for me in this strategy go-to, you always refer to the economic, single economic regulator. You know, it's like, no, busy doing this thing, but if this man come, I will close shop. You know, everything is a boogeyman. You know, you talk about a very, very good strategy. You know, going to do this, it's commendable and do this. But there's this boogeyman, if he comes, you know, we have to change the whole thing and everything. I think this one goes to the acting DG also, to say acting DG. The entity saying the boogeyman, if he's not solved, you know, they don't know where this thing is. They're floating and they want to know whether the boogeyman is coming or whether they should continue to do bigger plans. You know, because if you can look at their strategic plan, the whole document of it. Every time they talk about these things, the boogeyman comes out. So I think we might want to help them whether we're killing the boogeyman or the boogeyman will eventually come back so that they can be able to plan properly and as much. The other issue, you want to upscale your mandate. Fair enough. Over time, yes. And then, but you're saying there's a challenge of lack of financial resources and capacity implications. And the most interesting thing, I think my colleague, Honorable Kago, has said it. On one of your, I think your senses, you show
you're saying you're going to appoint a consultant to do your human resource policy. Because I was asking myself, why do you have to do that? You can save some of the sense and code from other entities in terms of the HR instead. Because we are dealing with challenges of funding. And I know in government, most of the policies and the strategies are what they have. So I don't think it's wrong to be so common. And then I like this one where you went on to say, but the regulator is always and will continue operations of the organization using the resources and you are contradicting yourself. You know, that is why they will always not give you an extra sense because you're saying, well, we don't have challenges and capacity. And we can still live with what we have. You know, we will give the best of this work, you know, and what. So, say you are misplaced. And then on the same page, I think page 59, you also come and say, in the absence of actual corporatization of the NPA, the regulator operates as if there is an artificial separation of the NPA to better approximate the institutional architecture and research in the act. I just want you to unpack this point for us. I don't know whether you want to stop me because
we have to be mindful of time.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, we still have one more.
Yeah. On the one, yeah. On page 20, actually, where 2030. No, actually, your KPI says skills development and training plan development, developed and implemented. And then 2013-14, plans developed but not finalized and implemented. And then 14-15, plans drafted and implemented. And then we will forget it now. I'm not sure what it means. You know, even if we have to really, that's something we were coming out okay. But somewhere on the line, you just decided to concentrate on 2013-14 and what I'm not sure why. And then on that one of development of HR, it's on the same page. You said your KPI is development of HR strategy and skills. 2014-15, consultant appointed to assist with HR policies and performance management systems. And I'm saying some of the money you can save because performance management systems and HR policies. And get them from public administration, from your sister entity, from the department, because you really constrained you don't have that resources. You know, so you can't afford to do that. Yeah, I'll go until the cows were moved, but I think I'll stop it.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity just to fill up on what I mentioned earlier on, and it's indicated in your page 34. Your page 34, it's the fourth item under expenditure classifications per program. The industry development, as an expenditure, if you could just explain how come in the current year it reflects 1648, then budgeted for 1979, and whereas all the others show a ratio-related increase, this one shows a decline in the third year following. If you could just explain, is it because, you know, there's a, what might the reasons be? I'll leave it to you then.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to be coming into the issues that I wanted to raise. I will request the member of the board to... Oh, I'm sorry, Honorable Sibande.
David Chaperson, you see, Chaperson, I wanted to go back on what was raised about this thing of internal audit of software. I think time and again we have raised an issue of consultants, the use of consultants. There's no difference with the use of consultants. Why do we make duplication? Why do we do have a staff who's supposed to be there? Because we're in this department. once we make a duplication. Because most of you, some of you are still employed for correctly for that work to be done. And then also this thing goes back again, same question we have raised earlier on. In terms of the issue of the risk management, how can you bank from the person from outside to send you a signal if there is a danger in terms of your budget? That's the problem. And also, you go to your strategic challenges. You see, on page 43, on capacity, you see, what is worrying me in terms of your Gonogram post field? You said 17 out of 27, but you never clarified us what types of post we are taking. Senior post. But the thing is one, as long as the center fails to hold, forget about any improvement or whatever. If you maybe can take us on board what type of vacancies you're talking about, because there's little problem with this one. Doesn't explain what types of vacancies. Because it might be a serious vacancy we're supposed to be in. And then also, what is worrying me, the issue of, let me put it, no matter it's not there, because my colleagues, I don't want to prevent it because they've covered a lot of things, so I don't want to make a reputation. Some of them put 7, we talk about the monitoring and enforcement, economic regulation, please, you see. Yes, monitoring. Correct. I wanted to cite an example. As the regulator, and also the people that are responsible for some of the responsibilities. Here in Western Cape, if you go to Armanes, who monitors this? Because anything can happen. Ships are running in and out. I mean, it's no one. It should come to some fucking, but I'm coming. But I want to specifically from your side. I'm making a practical example, not a deal. Because we know very well that here in the city, there are places where there are still parking, where people are taking advantage. Serious advantage in terms of the security of the country. But while you are there, you're supposed to give us a highlight in terms of proposing some of the regulations. Because, I mean, some of, yes, there are places where you also indicated from yourself, you said, in your recommendations, based on, I don't know, this is the one which I wanted to do. Yes, this is, again, a strategic challenge. You spoke about policy gaps, what X amendment is mine. This one, I check if there is right. Because most of the entities and most of the people, they are able to identify where is the problem. But then they don't take it forward to as a proposal to make it to true the people that are dealing with legal at the back so that the people at the back can start to formulate something now. I can assure you, mark my words, with these policy gaps which they are talking about, if we are not doing the proper monitoring even ourselves, next day it will come again.
Chair, I'll try and be as brief as possible.
and be able, and then request that what we are unable to address within the time frame that the Honourable Chair has requested us to do is to respond, then we provide the committee with the responses within 48 hours. I'm going to note the question from Mr. Nawuti, Honourable Nawuti, of the structure. I think it's a welcomed issue where we need to be able to link our structure to DOT. We will be doing that into the future. Addressing the issue of internal audit, as much as one is cognizant of the fact that we need to be trying to reduce the use of consultants and building the capacity in-house, I would like us to be able to look at the status quo of what we are currently sitting with in terms of how much we are paying our consultants vis-a-vis how much we'll be paying if we had a warm body sitting in our offices. We are paying far less than what we are paying. We are in a far better position than most of the entities. We're sitting in Devon where the fees are not as exorbitant as in other provinces. We're paying almost not even a person's salary, and we're getting so much of assistance from our internal auditors. However, having said that, we are not saying we're not going to build the capacity in-house. The new revenue model that we presented today, we are hoping that we'll be having our own complement, a staff complement, and we'll be able to raise our own internal auditors in-house. So I'm requesting an indulgence from committee to bear with us, possibly when we're able to get to a point to be able to raise our own funds, we'll be able to do that. When it comes to the issue of organogram and the vacancies that are not filled, I highlighted that on the executive management side, we only have one executive manager, which is number 3, and all the rest, which is number 4, that is the executive manager called CSR, that is, and then specialist industrial development, the interns for PFR as well as research, and specialist monitoring and tribunal and compliance are not there. And we are going to try our level best when we implement our funding model to fill in those vacancies. There is a question that was raised around the issue of separation of duties between the members as well as the tribunalists. In terms of administrative law, we're supposed to be acting independently of each other. However, the way the Act was drafted, it was drafted in a manner that combined the two duties. So currently we are constrained in terms of trying to separate the two. To address Honorable Sibanda, we have set as the regulator, we have looked at all the constraints within the Act, and we have been able to identify some of the areas that need to be amended. We have sent the amendments up to transport for them to consider and to be able to propose the way forward in terms of the amendments to the Act. So I can assure you sitting here that next year we won't be sitting with the issues of policy gaps within the Act, because already we have taken a stand as the port regulator to address them. Honourable Nawuti addressed the issues of Operation Pakisa as well as the NDP, that it doesn't come out clearly when we present our report. Operation Pakisa is one of those areas that everybody within the maritime sector is taking seriously, and we are taking it seriously. We are going to be working hand in hand with TNPA to ensure that whatever project, I think we did highlight the fact that we are now coming up with a project where we are going to be for the first time in the country be able to tell the country what capital project is Transnet executing. In that will be part of Operation Pakisa, where we're saying we're going to be monitoring and ensuring that there is execution in those projects. in our nature, we're not a CAPEX program entity, but we are ensuring that it does happen and it is going to happen. I think it is Honorable Sibanda who highlighted the issue of monitoring. Our monitoring goes as far as economic regulation. Our colleagues in terms of SAMHSA are looking at safety, but where we are able to cooperate and be able to advise, we are ready to do that. There's an issue that you highlighted, which I think we need to take blame for, that we are not really out there and saying what are we doing in terms of ensuring that we bring more skill and what benefits do we have. We are currently having budgetary constraints, but we have been able to work with our stakeholders in the maritime sector in terms of ensuring that we are bringing skill more around maritime economic regulation. We are currently having two learners that are not paid by us, but by one of the stakeholders to be groomed and be formed to be one of the best maritime economists in the country. And we are providing the training, obviously the fact that we are highly constrained in some of the areas. We are doing a lot in terms of going out and talking about skills development within the maritime sector. Yes, I think we have to take that message that we did not come out clearly about our role within the maritime sector in terms of learnership. We would be hopeful that as we roll out our funding model, that we will be able to really give you much more than what I've just seen. On risk management, Honorable Sibande, risk management is done in-house, and we are able to monitor and implement whatever risk mitigation strategies that we need to be able to do. So I really love you, sir, to know that on risk management, we are really doing well. As we have highlighted, for the past 2 years, we've been getting clean audits. When I say clean audits, it's clean audits with nothing else but clean. So I think we need to pat ourselves on the shoulder on that. With all the constraints that we have highlighted, but we are able to get clean audits. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
From the regulator, I think critical is what has been highlighted here. Probably together with the department, we should be able to be assisted so that you can unleash your potential. There is potential. It's just kind of run by the fact that the resources are not very sufficient for you to can be able to support, which actually the CEO is here. Welcome, Director General. I think the Director General coming in. You for sure have had a bit of what a sports regulator has been saying. But one other element that is very critical is that we may want to look into separating MPA so that we are not seeing definitely one day somebody not really mad, but who have read the law and see the gap will be able to really take us to the washer, and we will be very clean when we come out of that, because indeed you can't be a referee and a player at the same time. You need to separate these issues, and DG, I'm imploring upon yourself that we really need to deal with this matter so that it can be looked into. I don't know if Advocate Masuka is here, who is the legal person in the department, to start looking into how quickly we can be able to look into amendment of the legislation, because it's a legislative issue, so that we are able to deal with this matter. On that note, you are released, and good luck in your endeavors. We will be watching very closely as you are participating in issues of practice, that you do what is right for the economy, the blue and economy and the ocean economy, as has been our outlined. SAMHSA, you're next.
welcome the DG. The acting DG is not
the main man is taken over.
Yes, he
is
taken over.
Here for the budget presentation.
My strategy is to raise the issue of the burden.
And then the Mr. Sok to delight and then it says children. Oh, it's the CFO.
Thank you very much. Welcome. I'm going to request the COO, who just fresh from Indonesia. He requested that he will be delayed because he was in transit from Indonesia. I hope you represented as well there to give us a presentation. Thank you.
Thank Honorable Chair, Honorable Member. The CEO Samsai has already tendered an apology, but just for the record, it was part of the presidential visit to Indonesia. I think the situation with the board has been clarified in the chair, so I hope the committee would accept Samsai's apology in that regard. We went through very quickly, which is given half an hour, because of our strategic plan.